So the country has taken another step, albeit a hesitant one, on the road to recovery with the announcement that from Friday some COVID restrictions will be eased. However, with the number of infections on the rise, mask wearing and the use of vaccination certificates will remain with us. Over the next few days on Morning Ireland, we'll be reporting on how places have been bouncing back or not, and on how the health system is coping or not. We're going to start this morning here in Drogheda in County Louth. We're in the Mill Enterprise Centre, a co-working centre for start-up businesses. Shortly, we'll be getting political reaction to the latest announcements, but we're going to talk first of all to Dr. Ian Cunahan. He's a respiratory consultant and clinical director at the Department of Medicine at Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital here in Drogheda. Thanks very much for joining us this morning. You're also the hospital's COVID lead. What's the current situation?
Good morning, Rachel, and thanks for asking me to come on. I guess the current situation is the hospital's entering into its busiest time of the year. And at the moment, we've 23 patients admitted with COVID-related illness. So that represents 10% of the medical beds within the hospital. And, you know, this is a time of year with increasing normal respiratory illnesses where we tend to overflow those beds already into the surgical wards, sometimes the gynecology wards. And it's concerning that we're taking up essentially what is a large medical ward just purely with COVID. So it's very busy in the hospital at the moment. We have large presentations to the emergency department on a daily basis. I think August overall was the busiest hospital for unscheduled care that we've ever had.
Really? Why was that, do you think?
Well, I think we've just had, so a year and a half of people having poorer access to the healthcare that they've been looking for. They've possibly tended to migrate towards the emergency department where, when they're not able to get what they need or unwell and need acute attention. We've also, I think you've seen in the media last week about the presentations of children within the hospital, and we've a paediatric emergency department. So that's been incredibly busy in the last number of weeks as well.
And typically now, the non-COVID patients, what are they coming to you with?
Well, they're coming in with the usual medical complaints. So people who are older and frailer with minor medical illnesses maybe, but that knock them off their baseline where they're not able to look after themselves at home, or their family aren't able to look after them at home because they've got a decompensation of a chronic condition or an infection on top of their other comorbidities and frailty, and the usual respiratory illnesses, people coming in with pneumonias, flare-ups of their asthma, COPD, that's what I tend to see, and people present with, bad illnesses like cancers and things as well throughout the year. So the usual things.
I gather you've had a case of flu, and I think last year, didn't we have a winter almost entirely without flu? But this year there are early signs that it's out there.
Yeah, well, I just got notified, that our first laboratory positive case of influenza this week, I think it was 2 days ago. And so that really is a concern, because I guess while we've seen an uptick in the ordinary viruses such as RSV, particularly within children, and maybe a little bit earlier than usual this year, we are I've been hoping that there wouldn't be as big a flu season this year and that maybe we'd get away with it again. But I think it just highlights how important it will be for people to get the influenza vaccination, particularly people who thought maybe they didn't benefit from it last year. I think this year it's going to be really important to get that.
Mm. Is there a danger? I mean, you're obviously very busy already, and we're very early on in the winter season. Is there a danger that all of this is going to have a knock-on effect and that operations will have to be cancelled?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that there's always a risk. I mean, we work in, as I say, we tend to become just overflow during the winter months, typically with medical admissions and people ending up spending more time in the emergency department and the patient experience time extending during that time, having to flow into surgical beds. We've been fortunate enough to have a colleague join us from the NHS. He's worked in the NHS for the last 10 years, and he was meeting me as clinical director and asking me, you know, where's the space that we open the beds for the winter months for the additional capacity, you know, because that's the norm. But that's just not something that we have access to.
How have the past 18 months affected the hospital? I mean, it's been pretty much non-stop, hasn't it?
It's been busy, and I think we're getting to a time where the people that have, you know, really, dived into this and just worked through it and given their all to it are getting really burnt out, you know, particularly over the summer months. I've seen that. I think we've noticed within the hospital that when we get a big upsurge in, you know, COVID cases where our ICU is full and we're working at a ward level with patients who really we would prefer to have in an ICU or HDU environment, that it takes a huge toll on the nurses and doctors and other health and social care professionals looking after them. I think on our respiratory ward after this wave at the beginning of the year between March and July, we saw 24% of our staff nurses move on. So
what, they just had enough?
So I guess there'll be a natural turnover within any ward, but it's been the highest turnover of any ward within the hospital. So that just shows the toll that it's taking on those staff, because we've been really fortunate to have excellent nursing staff, throughout the hospital, but the ones that I've been working with over the last 18 months I've been really proud of. And so it's sad to see them feel that they need to move to other jobs, and I'm sure that's related to the stress and the toll that it's taken on them.
Dr. Ian Cunahan, COVID lead at Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital here in Drogheda, thank you very much for joining us here this morning. Also joining us is local TD Jed Nash, who's the Labour Party spokesman on finance, public expenditure and reform. Can we talk for a moment about yesterday's announcement? The Taoiseach has conceded that there are anomalies in what was announced. Is there anything that you think they got completely wrong?
I think there are a few things that they got right. I don't think anybody would have expected anything differently necessarily from the announcements that were made yesterday. The ground was being prepared for the very cautious unlifting of some restrictions and the remaining in place of some. And we understand why those restrictions will remain in place given the outline that Ian has explained, the context around which he is operating in Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital and the staff, and we should always prioritise our health service. There were some serious anomalies in what was announced yesterday, particularly as it relates to pubs and nightclubs. I've taken the time yesterday to canvass opinion from local nightclub owners and managers and publicans. Publicans are generally happy that they can continue to trade, albeit, yes, with some restrictions, and they understand why those restrictions would remain, but I think some clarity is required in terms of how nightclubs will operate safely, and indeed there's some disappointment in the live music sector in terms of some of the imposition of some of the restrictions that will remain on them. There's some good things I think that came out of yesterday's announcement. One was, for example, the rather belated conversion to antigen testing. Alan Kelly has made the case over the last 12 months for the more widespread use of antigen testing, and in fact there were companies in this very location who were in contact with me earlier this year looking to get involved in a pilot process that the Taoiseach announced that doesn't seem to have gone anywhere.
Can you understand, though, why the government has been slow on this, in that they always say they take their advice from NPHET, and it's NPHET who has been reluctant to see the wider introduction of antigen testing?
Yeah, and now that we've got actually a very extensive cohort of our population, 90%, in fact, the vast majority of our population vaccinated, I think there is a utility for antigen testing, and that could be applied potentially in other workplaces. I noticed that the Taoiseach yesterday announced that it will be spring before there's an en masse return to offices. And that concerns me, because I get calls all of the time from people, for example, about the, their right to request the ability to work from home. There is no legal framework at the moment to allow those to work from home. You can request it, but there's a power imbalance between you and your employer, and you're not really in a position to refuse. And I've dealt with cases in this area, an area where we have 10,000 people leaving the Drogheda and East Meath area every day to go to work in Dublin, and in some cases in Dundalk, looking to see when this legal framework will be introduced. I think it's really important that legal framework now is expedited. We introduced a bill last year, 11 months ago on the Dáil. It went out for public consultation. The Tánaiste announced in the summer that legislation would be introduced within the year. We've yet to see that.
How have the past 18 months affected this area, would you say?
It's been difficult for individuals. Dr. Coonan has outlined the stresses on staff in Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital. Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital is the biggest employer in this area, and we really value it. And I've seen at close hand myself the stress that staff have experienced because of the great work that they do, the really tremendous work that they do, and the pressure that they are under. What we have noticed, because this area is very much a hub for commuting, is that the area itself became much more lively during the day. Local businesses, in fact, were doing better. Coffee shops and so on, or takeaway coffees. People were starting to become a little bit more engaged in the community because they had the time. They had a better work-life balance. I think that return to the office, while some people want to do that, it is concerning some. And they'd like to see that legal framework within which they could operate to have some clarity around when they can work from home and how they can request that working from home situation and how they could be better protected.
All right, Jeet Nash, thank you very much for joining us this morning.